Today we're going to deal with Judas. I was given the topic of Judas, talking about the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, and Judas had to be a part of that. And the question is, what is wrong with Judas? You ever met a person say, what's wrong with them? You ever been driving down the road and say, what in the world is wrong with them? Well, today I want to say, what in the world is wrong with Judas? In Matthew chapter 26, it says it like this, verse 48. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know the one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. So Judas came straight to Jesus, greeted Rabbi, greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him a kiss. Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Went on after Jesus was arrested. Judas was there. He saw what was going down. He went to the temple, and in Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, he threw the silver coins down in the temple. And he went out and what? And hanged himself. And so the question is, what is wrong with Judas? What in the world is wrong with Judas? How can someone spend so much time with the Savior and still be suicidal? How is it that someone can be a hand-picked disciple? Think about that. Jesus picked him. He's a hand-picked disciple. How can somebody be a hand-picked disciple and still be so devilish? How can somebody spend so much time hanging out with the deliverer and still be doing that which is self-destructive? So we ask the question, and the question is what? What? That was poor. One more time. The question is what? That's the question. What is wrong with Judas? And we got to talk about this today a little bit, because I believe that the problems with Judas didn't start with the rope and that branch. I think it started a lot longer. Way before that, Judas had some self-destructive behaviors. Do you ever have any destructive behaviors in your life? We all do. Amen? Matter of fact, I was flipping through some pictures the other day on the internet, and I come across this picture. Anybody relate with that one? Maybe your child, maybe you? I got to thinking about destructive behavior, so I have to talk about this. Rose had her hands full. Rose is Mark's mom, and Mark's mom's a saint. I'm telling you, she's a saint. Amen. She is. If you disagree with that, I call her myself. But as a child, Mark was pretty self-destructive, and Rose pretty creative, and she come up with this plan right here. Show us that, Bill. Yeah. And you know it's Mark. Look at the little boots down there, too. You know it's him.
And those are nice legs.
And the picture's in black and white, too. It's been a long time ago. I believe we all have some self-destructive behaviors at times. And so I think we have to study this, what is wrong with Judas. And I wonder, how is it that Judas could spend so much time with Jesus and still fail? Spent so much time with Jesus and still failed. First of all, Judas failed his name. Scripture tells us, and the what? He calls Judas the traitor. How would you? It's like putting it on your tombstone. You're a traitor. All your life, your tombstone's going to say, traitor. That's what Judas got. Judas, the traitor. That's not the meaning of his name. The meaning of Judas' name is worthy of praise. Believe that? Worthy of praise. That's what Judas means. And when we look at the time frame when Judas was born, there was all kinds of little Judases running around. Everywhere you call, there you'd be in a grocery store, you'd holler, Judas, three kids would poke their head up, is that my mom? And when we look at the names at that time, names meant something. They would, the Hebrew people would name their children in such a way that it would reflect the character of their child. Names meant something. When we named our kid, we just looked around for a name that he wouldn't be picked on at school about. You know, we make sure that we give him a good, solid name that nobody at school would make fun of him. And as a matter of fact, one of the kids from the youth group named Lucas. We was on a youth trip, and how about Lucas? And Malia smiled and said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And we kept it. But this timing, they would look, and they would, even after a child was born, sometimes they wouldn't even name that child for a little while until they figured out what the nature of that child was. So Abraham means faithful. That's what his name means. When we look at Moses, Moses means drawn out. He was drawn out of the water. Jesus means salvation of God. Isn't that nice? They believe this so much that if a person's nature would change, so would their name change. Do we say Saul wrote a lot of the New Testament? We don't say that. We say Paul wrote most of the New Testament, a lot of the New Testament. Why? Because Saul's life was changed on that road to Damascus, and that's where his nature was changed so much that his name was changed as well. Names have meanings. And I say all that to say Judas messed up a good name. Judas flat messed up a good name. In all of America, do you know one child named Judas? Come on, little Judas. Judas, think, quit that. All of America, all of the world, there's probably not one child named Judas, is there? In all of the world, there's probably not one dog named Judas. Now, if Mark was preaching this sermon, which you're not, Mark, I'm preaching this sermon, Mark would say, but there's a lot of cats named Judas. That's what Mark would say. But I'm not saying that. Judas messed up a good name. His name meant he praises, but he ended up poisoning. And I say all that to make this point. When you become a child of God, you need to live as a child of God. When you become a child of God, you need to live as a child of God. Everybody here that loves the Lord, say amen. Everybody who calls himself a Christian, say amen. Amen. Everybody here who's a believer, say amen. Amen. And that's great because the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name, we are called by the name of Christ. So if you're called by the name of Christ and you're going to wear a necklace around your neck that has a cross on it, if you're going to wear a cross, you need to be willing to bear a cross as well. Back in the day, long before some of you, we had these little cute bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? If you're going to wear a bracelet that says that, you need to once in a while be willing to do that. If you're going to put a fish on your car, well, go win somebody for Christ. Go win somebody. Judas failed his name. I pray that we as Christians don't fail the name of Christ. I pray that we live our lives in such a way that our nature reflects our name as Christians. Secondly, Judas flunked his exposure. Think about this. Judas was a hand-picked disciple. He was among the 12. He was there and heard Jesus teach. He was there and seen Jesus do miracles, and he still flunked his exposure. Judas was there when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Judas was there when Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that men will see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father in heaven. Judas was there when Jesus healed the sick, when he healed the lame, and he said, take up your mat and come on, let's go. Judas was there when he raised the dead. Judas was in the boat. Think about this. Judas was in the boat. He was in the boat when the storm was, lightning was cracking, the storm was coming down, the rain was filling up, the waves were unbearable. They were crashing the boat. I can see little Judas down there. He has his little bucket, and he's trying to bail all the water out. And Jesus stands up and says, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves, they stop. It gets quiet instantly. And the birds begin to sing, and the fish begin to jump, and it was a beautiful day. Judas was there in the boat when that happened. And you wonder, how in the world could you flunk your exposure? I got to tell you, I've been blessed. I've been blessed to have good parents in my life. I got a mother that prays for me on a regular basis. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have a church family here at Hillcrest Christian Church that loves me. I'm blessed to have that. I'm blessed to be raised in a Sunday school where I was able to go to Sunday school and meet my teachers, and they taught me about the Lord. I was blessed to have that. I was blessed to have grandparents that love the Lord. And you don't have to look at me like that, because y'all had some godly exposure in your life too. Amen? How many people had godly mom or dad in their life? Just look at that. That's some godly exposure. If you've sat under the teachings of Mark Fugate behind this pulpit, you've had some godly exposure. Amen? Some of you had Sunday school teachers. And let me just say this. If you don't have your kids in Sunday school, you really need to. I believe it's life-changing. I believe those teachers put a handprint on kids that they're never the same. And they teach them God's word. And I tell you, it's amazing. Wasn't it amazing, Andrea? We sat in Sunday school together some. Blessed. Some of you have people that God has placed in your life at the right time to say the right words, hand placed by God in your life. You've had some godly exposure. And our prayer is, Lord, don't let us flunk our exposures. Let that be your prayer. You've had some good influences in your life. And thirdly, Judas believed that his failures were final. Judas believed that him selling out Jesus, he believed that his failures were final. Do you ever fail? We all fail. There's times when we fail. I remember one time, and Kylie was sharing this in Sunday school the other day, and I tell you what, you should have had to raise that girl. I'm telling you. My child didn't like to clean a room. I'm just telling you that right now. Kylie, her room would stack up. She said it was her defense against any intruders, is what she would say. It was her defense. Now, don't, Karen, you be justifying it for her. I don't want to hear it. It piled up. Got people over here justifying it for you, Kylie. It would pile up. And I was on that kick. Does anybody know the kick I'm on? You're just going to get cleaned up now. Anybody been there? You're just going to get cleaned up. It's going to clean up now. I'm tired of the mess. It's going to happen. So I'm telling her, Kylie, for 2 weeks I'm on this kick. Kylie, that room's got to get cleaned up. That room has to get cleaned up. That room has to get cleaned up. I'll get to it, Dad. I'll get to it. Finally, the day come where I'd had it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'd had it. And James Dobson probably doesn't have this in his book of parenting. But it's in the Jimmy Johnson book of parenting. I looked at my daughter and I said, whatever's on the floor in the morning, I'm throwing it away. So I get up the next day and I go in her room and Kylie's just laughing. She said, Dad, be a man of your word. She had cleaned all her stuff. She wanted up off the room, and then she piled in bags. I'm talking, didn't put it in bags. It was bags full of trash yet to be bagged in the middle of her floor for me to pick up all of her trash for her and take it out and burn it. Daddy, be a man of your word. If you say it, you got to do it. Shh. I thought at that time, I failed. I failed. I look at Judas, and man,
he failed. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And think about this, when he was promised streets of gold. And yet, I look at this issue of suicide because he went and hung himself. Let me say, suicide's never the answer. No matter how large the problem, suicide is never the answer. I want to be very clear about this. I'm going to take a moment here. Suicidal thoughts come for 20 minutes at a time usually. And when they come, it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is. You feel free to call. You can call me. You can call Mark. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You can call us. You can call Charlie. You can call Derek. Call Darcy. You call whoever you want to on church staff. We'll be glad to get up and we'll be glad to answer the phone. It'll be our privilege to sit and talk to you until that thought goes away. We have to be a little bit like Job. When Job, all the hardships come upon Job, all his friends were telling him, hey, you must have did something wrong, and they were giving him direction what to do, and he ignored them, and he just took the time and he prayed. He prayed until God brought about a change in his life. And sometimes it's not about what we do. Sometimes it's about getting on our knees and praying for the change that God needs to bring into our lives. But Judas didn't do that. I say that because sometimes all of us have a little bit of Judas in us. We mess up bad, don't we? I'm not talking a little bit. We mess up bad sometimes, don't we? And everybody sits quietly. Look at that. Amen? We let God down. We let our family down. We let ourselves down. We don't want to talk to anybody else about the issue because we're embarrassed about it. We do some things that are self-destructive at times. And Judas did some things that were self-destructive. But let me say, we pick on Judas, but Judas wasn't the only one that failed during this time. We never talk about that, though. We just give Judas, we kick him a little bit. Peter failed as well. You remember that? Peter failed as well. He had all his disciples there and said, hey, you guys aren't going to stand with me. All of you guys are going to leave you. You're going to leave me. You're going to leave me alone, and I'm going to have to do this alone. And Peter, he's always kind of a big mouth, and he jumps up and says, hey, all these other wimps, they might leave you, Lord, but not me. Not me. You can count on me. I know they're a bunch of wimps, but you can count on me. And Jesus says, your talk's really good, but your walk's going to be a lot different. No, you're not. You're wrong, Jesus. You're wrong. No, I'm not wrong. Your talk is good, but your walk is going to be a little bit different. They arrest Jesus, and Peter's there by the fire. He's trying to catch a word about Jesus. It must have been a little chilly, so he moves a little closer to warm himself up. And there's a lady there and says, hey, you're one of them. You're one of those people that followed you. You're a follower of Jesus, aren't you? I don't know what you're talking about, lady. You must be talking about somebody else. I don't know that. No. I've seen Jesus speak, and you were with him. I know it. I've seen you with him. Lady, leave me alone. You need to leave me alone. I don't know Jesus. I wasn't with him. He moves back to try to get away from that lady, and he's moved. She comes on him again. Says, you can deny it all you want, but you are one of them. And then Peter, what's he do? He has a cussing fit. And then she starts laughing and says, I knew you were one of them because you don't even cuss like we do. Peter realizes what he did. He realizes what he did, and he gets him a king-size handkerchief. And he begins to cry and weep and repent, ask for forgiveness. And it's not too much longer on the day of Pentecost where 3,000 were saved. Who was preaching? It was Peter. Why? Because our failures don't have to be final, thanks to Jesus Christ. There's times as a dad I've failed, I'll tell you that. There's times as a husband I've failed. There's times as a church leader I've failed. There's times as a son I've failed. There's times as a Christian I've failed. But let me tell you this, that's not my story. That's not your story. Thanks be to Christ. Our failures don't have to be final.
I'm so grateful to tell you that this morning. If you forget everything else, remember, our failures don't have to be final. I was asked to go visit a guy in jail. A friend of mine asked me to go see him, and I went to jail. I'd met him a few times, and I went there to Orange County, and we was talking through the plexiglass. They got a piece of plexiglass you talk through, and we were having a conversation, and he was talking about the emptiness that was inside of him. He just talked about that hole that was there, that emptiness that was there, and he tried to fill it with a lot of things, and now, all of us have filled that hole with something. Let's just be real honest about it. We've all tried to fill that hole of emptiness. We found that there's only one thing that fills that, and that's Jesus Christ. But he was trying, and he was searching. He was hurting. The tears were rolling down his cheek. He said, "Something's got to change." I said, "I know. But your failures don't have to be final." And I began to talk about the grace of Jesus. And he said, "I want it." He accepted Christ. We took him to the church. Ruth, it was in the old building up there. The old building up there. We went up there. Police department brought him in, and he had the orange jumpsuit on. He had his chains on his feet and on his hands. They took that off of him, and we put a white gown upon him. We went up, and he took his confession of faith in front of his family that were all gathered there in the church, just like we're gathered here today. We went up in the baptistry. And he got a new beginning. His failures didn't have to be final. He come out of the water, Mike, and he was smiling from ear to ear. And sometimes, Mark, you say things you wish you wouldn't have said. That happens to me sometimes. But this was one time I said something that was, I felt like God had his hand in. And God was directing me in this. That happens sometimes, I feel. And I said, "Is there anybody else?" And Mike, you won't believe it, his mother stood up and said, "I've never accepted Christ." And so his mom comes up, and she walks up, and she says, "I want to be baptized right now." And we baptized the mother as well. And let me say, for both of those people, the son and the mom, the chains come off. Freedom come to them, a freedom that only Jesus Christ can bring into your lives. Because your failures don't have to be final. Aren't you glad of that?